Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you on this day, your Sabbath day, the day that you have given to your children. And Father, I ask that anything that comes from me, that comes out of my mouth, that is not of you, that it would fall to the ground and die. For what are my words? They are nothing. Your words are the only words that matter. So, Father, let only your words be heard, and let everybody listen to what you say and nothing of what I say. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. The title of this Torah portion is, What is our most second important service to Yahweh? Our second most important service to Yahweh. Now, that's a strange title, eh? Shouldn't the question be, what is our first most important service to Yahweh? Okay, let's answer that one first so we will know why the second most important thing is so important. So what is it that is our first service to Yahweh and His kingdom? Matthew 22:37-40. Yeshua said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, there is another commandment that has equal weight. A second, likewise, he said, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. These, together, are our first duty to Yahweh's kingdom. So now, what is the second most important thing we must do for Yahweh's kingdom? Well, before I tell you about the second most important thing, it is necessary for you to understand who Yeshua is. Understanding starts with knowing that Yeshua is God. He is the Creator and the one who died on the cross. What a miracle that is! How great are His mercies toward us that our Creator would stoop so low as to come to this earth and then be willing to die for Israel. Now, that is a concept that some people find difficult to understand, but understand it we must. He is God from before His time walking on the earth. He is our God now and will be our God forevermore. As God, He is the Savior of Israel and the world. As the Scriptures say repeatedly, God is my salvation. He is the Messiah who already healed the breach between the southern and northern kingdoms of Israel to restore them back to their original intended state. He is our King. And what else is Yeshua? He is the law creator and the law giver. Isaiah 33:22 says, For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our King, He will save us, and Yeshua is Yahweh. James 4:2 says, There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. The one who created the world by His law gave that same law to Israel at Mount Sinai. Israel, whom He had predestined to be the earth's receptacle of His great law that keeps all things manifested. This one was none other than Yeshua Himself on that mountain. at that time in the hearing of all the Israelites and before they backed away from him, he gave us a commandment that the enemy has worked very hard to keep us from doing. It is a commandment that is mentioned more than the others, 16 times from Exodus to Deuteronomy alone. Yahweh mentions this commandment. It is mentioned 142 times in the Old Testament, 62 times in the New Testament, for a total of 204 times in the Scripture. What commandment is it? The Sabbath. What did Yeshua say about himself in light of the Sabbath? Well, Matthew 12:8, Mark 2:28, and Luke 6:5 record Yeshua saying of himself that he is the Lord, the Kurios, G1962 in Greek, of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. So before we move on to what all this has to do with this week's Torah portion, let me tell you what the word kurios really means that almost no one understands. Kurios refers back to the most important titles of Yahweh Elohim. Adon, 335 times. Adonai, 438 times. El, 242 times. Elohim, 2,601 times. Eloah, 57 times. Yahweh, or Yehovah, or Yahuwah, 6,521 times. Shaddai means Almighty. It appears 48 times. Shalat, 8 times. And Shalit, 4 times. Yeshua is all of these things. He declared it and said it of himself right there in the New Testament. Yahweh is the Creator, and Yeshua said of himself that he is Yahweh. Therefore, he also declared himself to be the Creator. As such, he is the Creator of the Sabbath. Furthermore, this statement of Yeshua is not him usurping authority from his Father in heaven or making a false claim. Oh my! If it wasn't Yeshua who had created the Sabbath, him saying he was the Creator would have been treason against his Father. But we know that Yeshua was perfectly aligned with his Father's will. So this claim was a true one. It was Yeshua that created the seventh day. Genesis 2:1, the heavens, the earth, and all their vast array were finished. Finished is the English version of the Hebrew word kala. That's Strong's H3615. It means to end. And it also means to cease. All of the previous 6 days were finished. Now he will create the seventh day. Genesis 2:2. On the seventh day, God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. By finishing, ending his creation work, and then resting on the Sabbath then became part of his creation. Thus, resting on the seventh day was also an act of creation by example. God did not work on the seventh day. It isn't only God who can create something without working on the seventh day. We also create something when we keep the Sabbath. But it is something eternal. Just as the Sabbath is a little bit of eternity at regular intervals in our lives, we also create something having to do with eternity when we rest on the Sabbath. So what is it that we create? We create our eternal place in Yahweh's kingdom. It was His rest, His not working, that set apart the Sabbath from all the other days, and it is our rest on the Sabbath that sets us apart for His kingdom. Genesis 2:3. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because He rested in it from all His work of creation which He had done. And God, Yeshua, blessed the seventh day. He did not bless any of His previous creation except for mankind in Genesis 1:22 and 28. The next blessing He gave was for the seventh day. Make the connection. Bless the humans, bless their day of rest. This makes the connection between mankind and the seventh day, which is why Yahweh uses it to mark His people. The Sabbath was blessed, declared to be special, and sanctified, set aside for ritual purposes. It was made for all mankind, but it was given to Israel as a gift. Exodus 16:29. Behold, because Yahweh has given you, Israel, the Sabbath, therefore He gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. The blessing of the Sabbath, what makes that particular day more special than the others, is that our sustenance is provided. We don't have to provide it. That is the blessing of the Sabbath. Why was Israel given the Sabbath? So that we would promote the seventh day and show the world that humans can cease from labors and still live, albeit with advance preparation that Yahweh tells us to make. This is our participation in a picture of eternal life in Yahweh's kingdom. You know, animals must labor to eat on the seventh day. They labor every day. But the seventh day shows that mankind can be not like the animals. It shows that mankind is elevated above the animals and is a sign of Israel's elevation above all the other nations. Israelites are not to live like animals, laboring every day of the week for survival, or like the nations, who likewise labor every day of the week. We're supposed to be different than that. Yeshua declared Himself to be the creator of the Sabbath, and as the creator, He gets to require it of His people and to make the rules regarding it. Biblical Israel, 12-tribed Israel, is called to be the evidence of and witness on the earth to shine the light of His kingdom through the darkness of Satan's kingdom. Keeping the Sabbaths, plural, all of them, the weekly, day, and the annual feast Sabbaths, are the second most important thing we do for Yahweh's kingdom. It is what literally witnesses that we fulfill the first commandment and the second commandment, in that it shows we love Yahweh with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. It is commanded for everyone who says he believes in Yeshua. You know, the Sabbath is the bright beacon of the kingdom's light in the world. Its light brings attention to Yahweh's Torah, his law. Because the law has many more commandments, but it is the Sabbath that brings attention to them. How does the Sabbath bring attention to Yahweh's law? How is the Sabbath that beacon of light? Well, it is on the Sabbath that we spend time delighting in Yahweh's law. You know, we are so busy on the other days that even though we might talk about the law all day, every day, as commanded, it is on the Sabbath that we can give studying and delighting in it our full attention. As the Sabbath shines his light on the law shines its light on the world. It is as if the Sabbath is the moon gathering the sun's light so it can shine in the darkness. Did you know that the law of Yeshua is his light? Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And Yeshua said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Who is this you? Those who keep the law. These are the light of the world. They shine the light of his law, which is the laws are good laws. They shine this light out into the world. Now, this was his Sermon on the Mount, where he was commenting on the meaning and the how-tos of the law. So, he's connecting his people and the Torah to light. Yeshua is the law incarnate, according to John 1:1. Therefore, we should not only do the law to be like him, but we should want to do it, and it should be a joy to us. Psalms 1:2, chapter 40, verse 8, 119, verse 70, and verses 77 and 92 and 174 say, we are to delight in Yahweh's law and meditate on it day and night. Paul even said he delights in the law. You know, his words are used to argue away the law in Christianity. Well, what does this voluminous Sabbath instruction up to now have to do with the Vayikel Torah portion? There is now to be human work done to build the tabernacle, and Moses is about to warn the congregation yet again about the importance of the Sabbath, especially in light, pun intended, of their new work. What will Israel's work be now? What will the people be working on? What will they be creating? Like Yeshua created a place for man to live, now man, Israel, will create a place for God to live. But not on the Sabbath. All the work will cease on the Sabbath. what you do in your home and what is done in the Mishkan. That will all cease. Exodus 35:1. Moses assembled all the congregation of the children of Israel and said to them, "These are the words which Yahweh has commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of solemn rest to Yahweh. Whoever does any work in it shall be put to death." Well, one might think that building Yahweh's dwelling place should have been a 7-day-a-week activity. But Yahweh wants His people to follow His creation pattern so that His dwelling place on earth will follow exactly the pattern as His created week. Work 6 days, rest in eternity on the seventh. Now, it may seem harsh that Sabbath breakers must die, but there is a reason for this. Working on the Sabbath is treason against Yahweh. We know it is treason in His eyes because it incurs the death penalty. All treason, everywhere and in all times on earth, requires death, the death penalty. Keeping the Sabbath is our witness that we know Yahweh is the creator of all things. He is the creator of Israel, and that this means we are in covenant with Him. And keeping the Sabbath, doing it His way, not man's religious way, is directly related to building Yahweh's kingdom. Those who keep the Sabbath are blessed because we get to keep it and participate in building the kingdom. Not everyone knows to keep it. In our generation has come this knowledge that we are supposed to keep it, be elevated by it, and be part of Yahweh's kingdom because of it. And then still, there are those who say no to it. Exodus 31:13 says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, 'Most certainly you shall keep my Sabbaths,'" plural, "for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you, Yahweh who sets you apart." The sign, the Sabbath rather, is the sign of the covenant between Yahweh and Israel. It is for us to know to whom we belong. You know, He already knows to who we belong based on our fruits. But in other words, it's for us to know. The Sabbath provides our kingdom identity. Did you get that? The Sabbath provides our kingdom identity. Disobedience to the seventh day Sabbath is the opposite sign that says you are not His and that you are not set apart for His kingdom. Your disobedience says that He is not God and the creator of all things. How can those who reject the Sabbath claim to be in covenant with and set apart by the Lord of the Sabbath? Now, Jews, of course, worship on Shabbat, Saturday, in the rest of the world. I hate that word, Saturday. Muslims worship on the sixth day, Friday. Christians worship on the first day, Sunday. The Jews, at least, have gotten the day correct, even if they have gotten its law wrong by adding to it. Worshipping on Sunday is to worship on the day of the sun deity named Sol. Christians worship on another God's day, and they work on the Sabbath, the seventh day. Christians say they don't have to keep Yahweh's Sabbath because it was, one, changed, and two, there is no commandment in the New Testament to keep it. Well, let me address that. Let's see who can come up with a commandment in the New Testament that changes the most fundamental identity of Israel. The Sabbath. That's the fundamental identity of Israel. Where was that changed? There isn't one. There is, though, the trap that Yahweh set for his people in the southern kingdom, also known now as the Jews, for them to add to the Sabbath laws. Furthermore, the idea that Yeshua or any of the apostles needed to call for people to do what they were already doing is ludicrous. What am I talking about? Well, the Jews and believers in Yeshua, the Christians, were already keeping the Sabbath. It's all over the New Testament. Just look for what was going on in the synagogues where both Jews and Christians met to worship Yahweh. On what day do people go to the synagogue? On Shabbat, the Sabbath. If someone is already doing what they're supposed to, there is no reason for God or any of his teachers to call for people to do what they're already doing. Disobeying the Sabbath will not happen among Yahweh's people in Yeshua's kingdom. Those who reject the Sabbath won't enter Yeshua's kingdom. Remember, people who break the Sabbath die. Now, can they repent and be forgiven? Yeah, if they do it before their death. But if they die unrepentant, they do not enter the kingdom. Well, that's harsh, Kimberly. Well, let me explain it this way. One of the reasons, and it was a big reason, that ancient Israel was cast out of Yahweh's kingdom and was either divorced or widowed by Yahweh was because they did not keep his Sabbaths, plural. What makes you think anyone can get into the kingdom not keeping the Sabbath when God tosses people out of the kingdom for not keeping it? Now, Paul gave a list of sins that keep people out of the kingdom, but Sabbath breaking was not on that list. Why? It goes back to what I said earlier. Christians had joined the Jews in the synagogues on the Shabbat. In other words, all the people who claimed to belong to Yahweh were keeping the Sabbath. Paul had no need to list Sabbath breaking as one of the sins which would keep them out of Yahweh's kingdom. And furthermore, Yahweh gave us Leviticus 4 about unintentional sins, which says when you learn that you've been sinning because, you know, you didn't know it before, bring your required offering to Yahweh. Well, we have an offering made for us already. His name is Yeshua. There is repentance and mercy for those who do not know. But what about those who do know, but they reject the Sabbath? Well, let me tell you about my unintentional sin regarding the Sabbath. I did not know about the seventh day Sabbath all of my Christian life growing up in the church. If I had died during that time having full faith in Yeshua, Jesus, he would have saved me. He would have brought me into the kingdom. Not keeping the seventh day was my unintentional sin. Now, let me tell you about my intentional sin, my rejection of the Sabbath. Blessedly, and because He is good and His mercies endure forever, He showed me His Sabbath twice. The first time, I rejected it. That was my intentional sin. The second time He showed it to me, I began keeping it. I repented of rejecting it the first time. But if I had died during that period in which I knew about the Sabbath but rejected keeping it, I would not have entered the kingdom. This is the difference between what happens to those who sin unintentionally and those who sin intentionally. So now Moses will introduce a new commandment for the Sabbath, which has not yet been given. Exodus 35:3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. Why? Only Yahweh can start a fire on the seventh day. A weekly prophecy about the burning at the end of days. When will the cleansing fire start on this earth? During the tribulation, which begins at the start of the seventh millennium. All days begin in darkness, and there is no greater darkness period than the coming tribulation. Yahweh alone will kindle this fire on His seventh day. By not kindling a new fire on the seventh day, we are witnessing that we agree that Yahweh's tribulation punishment is for Him alone to do. Now, I'm not saying that we are not to keep a fire burning in our dwelling or have heat or a way to warm our food. We simply just don't start a new fire. New fires on the Sabbath, on the seventh millennium, are for Yahweh alone. This also has to do with His altar. His altar starts with new fire on the first day of the week in the rituals listed in Leviticus, and then the fire burns perpetually, day after day, night after night. The fire is to never go out. In the future, Yahweh's altar will grace the earth forevermore, and its fire will continue burning on every Shabbat. So can our fires continue burning on Shabbat. Just don't start a new fire. The coming seventh millennium will show to mankind what eternity is like. Now, it is not going to be marked as a period of eternity. There will be time. But like the seventh day, which symbolizes eternity and what living in the eternal kingdom is like, that is what the seventh millennium is going to show mankind. Yet we know that there will be those who rise up against the eternal kingdom at the end of this period. And I can't explain why people will do that. But I do know that their uprising against Yeshua will have to do with their flesh, and they won't have the devil to blame for it. They will have been scheming against Yeshua before the devil is let out of his chains. He only comes to organize their fleshly efforts to join his wicked kingdom and reject Yeshua's righteous one. Those people will have no one to blame but themselves for their eternal demise. Now, let's look at another kind of fire we should be careful not to kindle on the Sabbath. Isaiah 58:13-14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath so as not to do your pleasure on the holy days, and shall call the Sabbath, plural, delightful, holy to God, if you shall not lift up your foot to work, nor speak a word in anger out of your mouth, then shall you trust in Yahweh, and He shall bring you up to the good places of the land and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken this. Now, that translation comes out of the Septuagint. Don't speak angry words on the Sabbath. Keep the day in peace, even with those to whom you may be angry. Actually, Paul said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Thus, there should be no reason to be angry on the Sabbath. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath and don't give place to the devil. Anger starts fires. Don't let the emotion of anger cause you to commit a sin against anyone, even the one with whom you are angry. Additionally, don't let the day end without trying to get the problem between you and someone else repaired. You won't give an entry point into your life to the devil if you take care of angering situations right away, the same day, and not tomorrow. If we do it, if we turn our foot away from what we were doing in the 6 days, or what we will be doing in the next 6 days, He will bless us. It is the doing of the Sabbath that Isaiah says will cause us to trust Yahweh. And so says Yahweh. He will give us the good places and feed us with the heritage of Jacob, both in food and understanding of His word, the spiritual food. Now, let me change the focus a bit. Exodus 35:4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to Yahweh. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. Yahweh's offering, gold, silver, brass. Exodus 35:6 says, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram's skins dyed red, sea cow hides, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Exodus 35:9 says, onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Where did Yahweh give Moses the instruction to take this offering? From Exodus 25:1-7. I make this point because some say that Moses wrote the Torah. Not true. Moses was not the author of the Torah, the law, or any of the history in the first 5 books of our Bible. Moses was a scribe for Yahweh. He was not the author. But for his great service to our king, Yahweh himself ascribes Moses' scribe and teaching service by allowing Moses' name to be associated with the Torah. It is an honor that Yeshua has bestowed on Moses for his scribal service. Moses instructed the people exactly the way he was instructed. What that means, what it should mean to all who call themselves by Yahweh's name, is that, one, the law given by Moses is actually Yahweh's law. Two, Moses never told anyone to do anything that Yahweh did not tell Moses to instruct us with. Three, Yahweh gave Moses the law to teach to us in Exodus 4:12 and verse 15, chapter 18, verse 20, and chapter 24, verse 12. And we need to obey it. And four, since Yahweh never changes, nor can Yahweh never die, neither can his law change or die. The Jews, Christians, and everyone else who changes his law, they die. Yahweh's law regarding our service to his dwelling place, the tabernacle and the temple, begins with acknowledging his authority in our lives and keeping it at top of mind as of great importance is the Sabbath in Yahweh's kingdom. Now, I want you to know this teaching was not directed at those in this online room today. And I know its content was dense. But I also know that you are here in this online room because you keep the Sabbath. However, I hope you learned something or gained a perspective that you didn't have before, or maybe was even inspired in some way by this teaching. Thank you for being here, and thank Yahweh for giving me this message.